Good evening. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about wisdom and knowledge. Those are some very good, traits. Those are some very good things to have, is knowledge, wisdom in a certain area. Could you imagine going into a job, not knowing anything about the field that you're supposed to be working in? That would be scary. Having wisdom and knowledge gives us some comfort. It gives us some assurance. You know, I'll be watching Jeopardy, and there'll be categories coming up, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, English literature of the 12th century, and I'm like, oh. Yeah. But then they'll come up with the Civil War, and I'm like, yeah. You know, it's just the luck of the draw on what comes up. It'll be, movie stars of the 50s, and I'm set. But, and then there'll be something, you know, plumbing skills, and it's just, I have no idea about that. But it gives us knowledge and confidence in that. And when we look at God's word, the confidence and the assurance that we can get from the knowledge of his word, we look at how knowledge in the secular world changes. How in one era, could you imagine a doctor from the past being transported to today to deal with a problem? They could have been the best doctor of their era. But you look at things the way they used to treat things. George Washington, there before he died, if I remember right, he was bled. They had the knowledge that the knowledge that your blood gives some problems to the issues you're dealing with. So we've got to let blood out. They called it bloodletting. He was bled 9 times in a 24-hour period, and it didn't do a thing for his sore throat. He just kept getting worse, letting that, quote, bad blood out. There was periods of time when people thought, you know, that the world was round, that you'd fall off the edge. It's just lack of proper knowledge. The thing about God's word, if I can get some confidence when Jeopardy comes on, when the categories come up, if I can have confidence in that, how much more confidence can I have spiritually if I know God's word? Not to mention, I don't have to worry about it changing. I don't have to worry the egg thing is still bothering me. It doesn't really bother me. It's confusing. I don't let it bother me. Is eggs good for you or bad for you? I'm going to still eat them. I love eggs. I'm not worrying about butter. I like butter. It's from something God gave us. Okay? I'd rather eat the butter than the chemical stuff, you know, in the grocery store. But sometimes, oh, this stuff's great for you. This stuff's going to kill you. And then somebody else chimes in. With God's word, we don't have to worry about what the going flavor of the month is with knowledge. We don't have to worry about is this the latest, most up-to-date information. Now, can we through study get more understanding than we did the day before? Yes, but it's not changing the standard baseline like secular knowledge is. If you would turn to the book of Proverbs. Is this working? Okay. Turn to the book of Proverbs. The first chapter. The main theme in this first chapter, in fact, the first few chapters, is knowledge and wisdom. And there is a slight difference. There is a slight difference between knowledge and wisdom. I've known people that were very smart, that had a lot of knowledge, but weren't very wise. Didn't have common sense. Didn't know how to use that knowledge. And so they have to work together, knowledge and wisdom. You're not going to be wise without the knowledge, but you can have knowledge and not be wise. You know, Jesus addressed that with the scribes and Pharisees. They had the knowledge, and he called them hypocrites. Starting in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." I had to look up prudence. I've never used the word prudence in a sentence in my entire life. I thought prudence was like a girl character in a Dickens novel or something. To give prudence, it means to exercise sound judgment to avoid error. Think of that religiously. To give prudence, to give sound judgment to the simple so they can avoid error, the error of sin. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Very important to have knowledge, but it's as important to have the discretion on how to use that knowledge. Look at people that misuse biblical knowledge. A scripture here, a scripture there, twisting and perverting the scriptures. Peter talked about that. How they twist the scriptures to their own destruction. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The wise man will not only hear, but will increase their learning. They never develop that attitude, "I know it all." Isn't that spiritually a scary situation? "Well, I know it all. I've arrived. I've got it all figured out. When I think I've got it all figured out, that's when a whole set of more problems usually come my way. Just when I think I'm figuring something out, a whole new list starts popping up." But it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. I'll tell you, some of the smartest people I know, some of the wisest people I know, are the ones that they don't rely on themselves, but they know who to go to for questions. I don't know how to do this, so I'm going to go to an expert of this. What do I do about this? What do I do about this? And that's what I'm saying, a man of understanding. Somebody that understands stuff is going to surround himself and will attain wise counsel. I'm not going to go to somebody for counsel that is not wise. Why go to somebody for counsel that can, their words get you farther off track? Verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma. There's another word we don't use on an everyday basis, or at least I don't. You may. An enigma is an obscure riddle. You know, kind of talking in code. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There, verse 7, that's one of those underline verses in the Bible. The fear of the Lord, not the cowering scared of God, which although that's one aspect, to realize, to understand the nature of God, what God is capable of. You look at God's history, look at some of the things he's capable of. It's really nice to think of the fact that he loved us enough to send his son. It's great to think of that he is the God that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. But he's also the God that would smote thousands. He's also the God that would destroy an individual or a people for disobedience. He's also the God that destroyed the world by a flood. And it says the fear of the Lord. Another word that would relate to this would be the respect. The respectful reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. That's where knowledge starts. Not with the category of the Civil War. Not with that I know how to do this or to do that. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And he goes on to say, but fools despise wisdom. They mock it, they laugh at it, they despise it. Wisdom and instruction. I don't need that. Have you ever known somebody? They might even ask for help. They might even come seeking out counsel from you, asking a question. You start to tell them, and whether it's just an attitude or reality of they're saying, yeah, I know that. Yeah. They're not listening. They came to you for advice, for counsel, for a question. You start to tell them, and you can have different responses. It may not be what they're wanting to hear. Or you're telling them the answer, and they already know it, but maybe that's not what they want the answer to be. The rich young ruler was like that. When he came to Jesus, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, you know, do this, do that, keep the commandments. And I just picture that guy kind of perking up. I've done these things since my youth. Jesus says, go and sell one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have. And then come back and follow me. And it says, the man went away sad because he had a lot of possessions. He didn't want to hear that. He didn't. Have you ever asked a question that maybe you didn't want the answer? Maybe you didn't want the truth. And here it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They may not even want to hear the truth. They may not even want to hear the right answer according to God. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. An ornament on your head, chains around your neck, is something that you can see on somebody. You can admire. It stands out. And that's the same thing when people follow the wise counsel, whether it be from the parents, whether it be from God. It stands out. We stand out in a dark world. We do. We stand out. We are different. People that run into us at work, at the grocery store, in a restaurant, they see something different in us by the way we behave, by the way we conduct ourselves. And it doesn't mean that we have to be standing up on a chair preaching on a corner. That's not it. The fact of just the way we conduct ourselves, the language we use, the politeness, that stands out. Maybe, and it doesn't have to be like the scribes and the Pharisees, like Jesus talked about the guy that stood on the corner and gave this big elaborate prayer, kind of looking around, who's watching me? It can just be that humble family praying for the meal before they eat in a restaurant. Doesn't have to be, you know, everybody look at us. And they will be a graceful ornament on our head and chains about our neck. We will noticeably be different. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent. James 4:7, we're in the book of James right now in our Sunday morning Bible class. We're in chapter 3. But in chapter 4, in James 7, James says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're told here in Proverbs, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If you're being tempted, don't go along with it. And that goes right along with you know what James is saying. Resist the devil. Peter talks about the devil prowling around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour somebody, looking for prey. Solomon is saying, if sinners entice you to sin, resist it. Do not consent to them. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Is that a group that we as an individual would want to be part of? People that lie in wait to shed innocent blood. People that seek lurk about secretly for the innocent without cause. That's not a group I want to be part of. That if they're going to do that, to the innocent. Are you safe in with a group like that? That's not a group that I would like to be part of. Oh, and you know, he says, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Let us all, you know, benefit and share from this, from these evil doings that we will do. How can you trust them to do that? That's not a group that I want to be with. And Solomon is saying, you know, when sinners entice you, come to the dark side. Don't do it. You don't want to be part of that. Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. One of the common themes in the Bible, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, the Bible, is reaping what you sow. Paul talked about that. Jesus talked about that in Galatians 6, verse 7. Paul is saying, you know, that whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You know, you're not going to live one way and expect to reap the benefits of something else. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7 that you'll know them by their fruits. In verse 16, you'll know them by their fruits. Don't walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. It's just a matter of time. One of the pitfalls of sin is the lack of immediate consequence. For somebody to commit sin and it not come back and slap you in the face immediately, people think they can get away with it. And that it's okay. And it says, they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. It's only a matter of time before it comes back to bite them. You can't commit sin and get away with it. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. One thing about wisdom, it's not a secret. It's not something that you can't attain. Knowledge, wisdom, it's there. It's calling to you. But it does take effort. It does take effort. I remember a story of a preacher, and this might be one of those preacher stories, may have never happened, I don't know. But a preacher was talking to a brother in the congregation, trying to get them to do, you know, like this, a Sunday evening lesson. And the man, oh, I just can't do that. I just can't do it. I'm a mechanic. You know, you're trained in this. You know, I just don't have that kind of a mind. You know, preacher, you get up there and you spout off verses and you talk and it seems so effortless. Blah, 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 blah. Well, one day, the preacher's car, he was needing some work on the car and takes it to the garage. And here's the brother. He's going to give the Christian brother business. And he diagnoses it immediately. Oh, it's this. And he starts just rattling off, it's this, and because that sound, it means this. And that's affecting. He goes on and explains literally the whole workings of the car. And the preacher, just to kind of get a jab in, he goes, I can't believe your mind. He goes, if I had a mind like that, you didn't read from books. You were just spouting it all off. I can only imagine what I could do as a preacher if I had that kind of a brain. Just to let him know, whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're trained in, whatever you put effort into, you can do that. Where was I at? Wisdom. Wisdom called, verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. Wisdom and knowledge, it's not being kept secret. It's there for everybody. It's calling for us. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. It's there. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. I love that question there. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? There's some people, haven't you known some people that just get in their comfort zone? I was just talking with Curtis before. Worship tonight, and about I get a comfort zone, especially for restaurants with food that I like. I would be happy never trying one new food that I've never tasted. I could live the rest of my life with the foods that I've eaten and be totally happy. Stacy, She's game. Let's go try this. Let's go try that. Not me. I could eat the same things the rest of my life and never get bored. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Reminds me of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5:12. Is saying, by this time you ought to be teachers. But instead you need milk and not solid food. You're just staying in the same rut that you were in as a Christian long ago. By this time you should be teachers, he's saying. But you need milk instead of solid food. What? Could you imagine a 22-year-old kid still eating Gerber baby food? Never maturing, never getting past, never growing up. Still, you know, drinking on the bottle. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Why? Why do fools hate knowledge? It makes them accountable. They don't want to be accountable to something out of their comfort zone. They don't want to be accountable to maybe have more responsibility. They don't want to be accountable to a higher calling. Verse 23, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Hebrews 11:6 talks about how, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. For those that are diligently seeking him all the time, not just when a calamity arises, not just when your back's against the wall, not just when things are going bad. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. Again, that concept, they will reap what they sow and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. That's the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. We're studying James Sunday morning, and in a lot of ways, to me, I don't know if it was intended by James in this way. The book of James is kind of like a New Testament common sense Proverbs, how to live as a Christian. In the Old Testament, we have the book of Proverbs that are just, they're just good old-fashioned sayings that help us. And this about the knowledge and the wisdom of God's word, to seek after it, not to reject it, but to diligently follow. It gives us confidence. It gives us assurance. And it avoids a lot of the pitfalls that we could avoid by following God's word. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, repentance, whatever your need, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.